This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This show is brought to you by GoPays, providing accessible, affordable and inclusive digital financial services, all in one app, all also okay.
It is 7:07 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril. We've now got our fourth episode of our five-part series on financial innovation and accessibility, which has been about understanding different parts of the financial system and how banking can be made easier and better. Last week, we talked about how the internet changed the game for banks, how online banking started, and where it is in this day and age.
Right. In today's installment, we're going to talk about how e-wallets and how they've improved accessibility to financial services. And I think the biggest change has definitely been the fact that it's much safer. When you have no physical cash to handle, your risk of losing it through fraud, loss, or theft lessens too. And most obviously, the convenience with an e-wallet. For instance, all you really need is your phone, and sometimes that's all you got to leave your house with.
So we're going to talk about how e-wallets have evolved and how certain players in the market are changing the way we use money. To do that with us, we have live in the studio Devesh Gwedekar, VP and Head of Market Development at MasterCard, and Jasmine Lee, CMO of U-Mobile. Devesh, Jasmine, it's a pleasure to have you both here with us.
Hi, everyone tuning in now. Hi, Hezril and Kelvin. Nice to have us in the studio. So yeah, it's really fun to be here.
Our pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us here.
So, Devesh, being one of the original global fintech players, how has the landscape changed over the past few decades?
Well, I think the landscape has definitely changed. Today, I'm sitting in your studio with Jasmine, who's the leading fintech player herself. But I think over a period of time, we must also understand that fintechs were previously associated with startups or ambitious entrepreneurs to begin with. But today, I mean, a lot of changes have happened over the years and over the decades. Regulators have struck appropriate balances between safeguarding financial stability and consumer protection. And lots of these changes have actually resulted in Malaysia benefiting out of it. Today, we're sitting at close to 200 fintech startups in Malaysia already.
Right. And how has a MasterCard evolved over time? What's the role MasterCard plays in this ever-changing landscape?
Well, in MasterCard, we've evolved over a period of time. We have always been and will continue to be a technology company in the payments industry. For us, digital is our core. I mean, for us, everything starts and begins with digital. And that's why we've been partnering with fintechs and tech fins globally for more than a decade now.
Jasmine, were e-wallets and e-finance something that U-Mobile was always interested in being a part of?
Definitely. I think in the mobile operator space, we have always been the e-wallet player because a prepaid wallet is an e-wallet. And The only difference is you're buying connectivity with your prepaid wallet. But now we are creating another accessibility for affordable financial services. So I want to talk a bit about e-wallets at this point. So a lot of reference to GoPays have always been we are an e-wallet. But the whole premise of us being able to work with MasterCard is a proof that we're just beyond an e-wallet. I think that is more important to create an ecosystem for people to be able to afford financial services in Malaysia beyond just buying things, beyond just payments.
Devesh, how have financial services and accessibility improved, and which segments of society have benefited most from this? How has, for instance, MasterCard contributed to this specifically?
You know, I think I always give this example that probably 10, 12 years ago, none of us would have imagined that we could have got into a stranger's car, sat inside, got down, shut the door and not paid him and just walked out. Today, it's an accepted norm.
Countering all, parental advice of not to talk to strangers.
And, that's the conversation I had with my son, who is now a teenager. Mm. And to answer your question, right? So there's been a lot of growth and advancement in the realm of financial services and accessibility. We also have seen a lot of access to internet penetration and mobile adoption rates. Mm. And those two have always been the focus to drive technology to the consumer. And today we talk about mobile phone, but in our world, we call it connected devices. And these connected devices are today commerce devices. Mm. I consume data and I also make a purchase on it. I actually consume services that Jasmine offers. Mm. So you see, these are some of the changes that we are going through, and we'll continue to see this evolution.
Jasmine, as a mobile service provider, how has U-Mobile contributed to wider accessibility generally, as well as for financial services?
So that is a very natural path for any mobile users. I think people trust their mobile phones much more than they trust their desktop internet. So you will see that M-commerce is the one that really push e-commerce ahead. And a lot of things are now bought from the app versus the web. We feel that mobile is the catalyst to drive accessibility for financial services, because the mobile users are very used to bite-sized purchase and micro purchase. And we, as a telco, we understand that mindset and that psyche. So a lot of traditional financial institutions, they're used to selling big ticket size items. So items, for example, like wealth, they're used to selling at least a $20,000 package wealth. So we have a wealth product from 100 ringgit, for example. So really it's changing that landscape of big ticket size investments into small ticket size affordable financial services. That is how the telco would change that landscape. Yeah.
And just to add to Jasmine, I wanted to say, you know, I think Malaysia, we are very proud to actually share with you that in Malaysia, we've actually seen that Malaysia has emerged as the leading market in Southeast Asia for e-wallet usage, ahead of Philippines and Thailand and Singapore. Huh. I mean, in Malaysia's usage of digital payments is even higher compared to all the other markets. And that's precisely fueled by 83% of internet penetration. That's really high, guys.
Yeah.
And we love our internet. We love our data.
We so, do,
Jasmine,
don't we?
Thank you.
So I want to add to that, Davish. I think even compared to Singapore, Singapore is a highly banked, highly penetrated country in terms of internet penetration. But you see the adoption much higher for Malaysia, because Malaysia has that critical mass of middle class and lower middle class population. They are highly banked, but they are under service for financial services. So in that creation, with this partnership with MasterCard, the thinking is creating affordable financial services for the greater mass in Malaysia. So hence, you do see the adoption much faster. Malaysians are more friendly to and more trusting towards the mobile app services. And we see that flourishing happening now, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah. And on that note about how e-wallets have evolved, we are going to touch on that right after this, as well as how e-wallets in general have changed the way users engage with fintech services, together with Devesh Kuedeka, VP and Head of Market Development at MasterCard, as well as Jasmine Lee, CMO of U-Mobile. Stay tuned for that conversation in just a bit. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned for more insights on GoPays, a universal e-wallet, all in one app. All also, okay. BFM 89.9, the business station. We're back with more from GoPays, all in one app. All also, okay.
It is 7:18. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezril. And we're talking about how e-wallets have changed the way we use money. Live in the studio with us is Devesh Kuedeka, VP and Head of Market Development at MasterCard, and Jasmine Lee, CMO of U-Mobile. Devesh, how have e-wallets evolved?
Well, you know, as we were talking earlier, today, for a population of 32 million in Malaysia, we have close to 48 wallets. Now, of course, there are a handful of wallets that all of us know as names, but there are 48 licenses that are available. And that talks about the hunger for wallets.
Right.
Of course, there will be consolidations and there will always be things to, you know, for us to all ponder about. But I think e-wallets have moved from the premise of just being an e-wallet today. There's lots of acceptance that has moved in the market today. And we have a lot of support from the regulatory environment. Not many regulators are so supportive, but I think we have done a great job jobs in Bank Negara Malaysia.
Yeah.
I think today we have a plan in place for to have close to 800,000 terminals across the nation, and of which the plan was 30% to be contactless, so you can just tap your card and make a payment. But guess what? Today, almost 60% of the terminals are contactless.
Mm. That's a
and
lot.
Consumers are just tapping because the convenience of tapping is the best in the in an experience format. Mm. And I think that's where the whole ecosystem goes across. Now, when we look at the cashless payments and wallets evolvement, I think Jasmine's has a great point about GoPays, right? GoPays is, and I always talk about it to Jasmine, it's not an e-wallet. It's about an ecosystem that she's built.
Yeah.
So everybody has an e-wallet, but what is the ecosystem? And I know, Jasmine, I don't know if you want to add on to that part of it.
So talking about this evolution of e-wallet, so it has gone from just being able to pay for things to being able to access financial services. So that's what the ecosystem is about. So we curate and create a lot of micro-sized financial services from 5 ringgit insurance, 13 ringgit insurance to 100 ringgit wealth. And that is the kind of products that we are creating in the ecosystem, including being able to pay for your zakat and all kinds of financial services, their loans to be able to apply for loans for our SMEs. So that is the ecosystem that we're creating. So it has evolved from just being a payment, and a lot of e-wallets in Malaysia are based on a proprietary wallet, which is a QR code, but our partnership with MasterCard is really beyond just a QR code. Any kind of technology where it's contactless from NFC on your phone, and in the future, a lot of phones will have NFC ready, and you don't really need, you can have either a card, a phone, or a QR code to be able to transact.
Right.
Yeah. You know, on a day-to-day though, how else has it, you know, just made finance, how's it just made fintech a bit more accessible to everyone?
I think just by it being on the mobile phone, it has made it accessible. So a lot of people equate fintech to an e-wallet. It's much, much more beyond that. Fintech is creating more services that is accessible on this mobile phone device, and making things like credit scoring in terms of other than your payslip and your payment records, we are creating a new behavioral around your mobile phone usage in terms of your credit scoring. So that has also changed in terms of how data and big data is working with mobile phones as a service in the fintech ecosystem.
Yeah, and makes sense, especially during COVID-19, right, when people are trying to avoid the use of cash.
Mm.
Devesh, why did you decide to partner with U-Mobile to develop GoPays? How does it differ from existing e-wallet players in the market like GrabPay and TNG Digital? You said, you know, yourself how the number of players is getting quite crowded on the playing field.
Yeah. So thanks, Hazrul. I just wanted to add on to a point which you were discussing earlier.
Sure.
One of the things that I wanted to add to what Jasmine is talking about is, you know, how this e-wallets have evolved is that today consumers are now looking for to be inclusive and to have a seamless, safe and secure payment options. And I think they somehow feel comfortable because they're in control of it. They're using their mobile phone to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that plays a lot of role because mobile phone is very personal.
Mm.
It's your own. You have a password to get inside. And all these things add value to it. And to your question, Hazrul, I think we couldn't have done without U-Mobile. I think this is a great partner to have. They have a vision. They have a plan of action. And we are very proud of our association with them. They're not only a wallet, like I always say, and I think she's going to get upset if I use the word wallet. They are an ecosystem, and they provide facilities and services to the people who require them, which not many banks or unbanked would actually address. And I think that's fabulous, right? Mm. Can that happen overnight? Of course not. It's going to take some time. But the fact that they've chosen to take that leadership position in that one, I think it's highly commendable.
Thank you. So just to add to that is the dream that we have is just look at insurance now. The penetration is maybe 7% in terms of the whole population, more than 70% of individuals are not insured. So this is an affordability factor. So we want to be able to create an ecosystem where they can have access to insurance, life insurance for all. So this is the dream, and it's really hard to do because we are not in the insurance space, and we need to create a lot of products together with good partners to be able to do that. Yeah.
You know, as we're talking about this, Jasmine, you're looking at existing e-wallets. Mm. What were some of the main issues you noticed, especially from the user standpoint? What did U-Mobile want to uniquely offer in this area?
So whenever there's a new innovation that comes into the market, it's all solving a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel that the existing e-wallets is not really solving that big of a problem, more just to be cashless.
Yeah.
Okay, with cashless, you can already use cards. And almost all Malaysians that is working or have a bank account has a card. So it's definitely, they have a debit card that's used as ATM. So we are not underbanked like in China's example. So China moves straight into the e-wallet where they are banked. Population is only less than 40%. So in Malaysia, already the digital payments is there with the card schemes.
Yeah.
What we want to really solve is creating financial services. Again, I'm repetitive here, but it is the big core dream for GoPays.
Of course.
So it's really curating and creating affordable financial services for all. So that is the problem that we are trying to solve, that these are the services that is not available to the greater mass throughout Malaysia. Yeah.
Right. And talk to us, Jasmine, about the preparation and research required prior to launching GoPays. What did that look like?
So as Davish pointed out, that there's a lot of players. We know that when we went to Bank Negara to apply for the e-wallet license, there were already 200 lining up or some numbers
that's
like that.
That's a lot.
So, but now there are 48 that is launched, and we know the positioning. And everybody is jumping just on the bandwagon of retail purchasing. And we know that we are sitting on a 7 million base in U-Mobile, and the base that is already educated on how to use digital payments through their prepaid wallets. So we start looking at the different countries in the world and the success cases. And the closest to us is Japan, because Japan's population is highly banked. They are card-based people, and they are... Their e-wallets are doing extremely well because they create an ecosystem. So you have telcos in Japan, from NTT Docomo to SoftBank, that has an e-wallet, but what they do is they create an ecosystem which is buying financial services on your phone. So we sort of took that lesson and we mimic that, but of course we make it even more affordable than what you have in Japan. Japan focuses a lot on savings, but we focus a lot more on things like protection and investments that you can go into.
Yep.
So we change it a bit from the model in Japan.
Devesh, looking ahead, could e-wallets make certain existing financial services just redundant?
Interesting question. Let me address the underlining fact on that question, right? So I think most e-wallets today currently lack interoperability. What do I mean by that, right? So they all operate in a closed-loop environment, which means that consumers can only make e-wallet payments at selected list of merchants where they are actually accepted. Now, that actually hampers their growth as well. And that's when, you know, that's when MasterCard comes in and helps them, saying, okay, we open up to the acceptance that we have worldwide and, of course, domestically. And I think that is the biggest challenge that they will have with comes of how they reinvent themselves all the time. Because today, consumer is the king. If he's not getting the experience that he desires, he's going to switch from one wallet to the other.
Yeah, because he has so many other options
exactly,
available.
Right. So, and I know it's an expensive affair to keep the consumer tied down, whether it's a cashback offer or whether it's points or whatever the case is.
Right.
But you're constantly doing that. You constantly want his attention. You want the engagement to go up. And of course, that's how you build loyalty.
On that note, Devesh, Jasmine, thank you again for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having us, guys. And I hope you guys have signed up to GoPay after all this, right? Jasmine, I did my job.
Thank you.
Covering the bases.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. You just heard from Devesh Kuwetika, VP and Head of Market Development at MasterCard, and Jasmine Lee, CMO of U-Mobile, giving us a look in the past and as well into the future about how e-wallets have changed and continue to develop. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
This show has been brought to you by GoPays. All in one app. All are so okay.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.